Glisson went to the wall, to one side of the tapestry. He took the blade from the silver pins which held it, passing it to Bosie.
This is the sword of Martin the Warrior. Long ago, in the mists of bygone times, it was made by a badger lord at Salamandastron, from a piece of a star which fell from the sky. You may borrow it to fight in defence of our abbey and its creatures.
The Laird Bosie MacScutter of Bolaney took it, testing its weight and balance. He inspected the sword, from the blood-red pommel stone to the plain black-bound grip, over the elegant flaring cross-tree hilt, and down the channelled and embossed blade. The entire weapon shone with the radiance of its own, sharp as a midwinter ice storm, pointed like a deadly needle. Bosie swung it, revolving the sword in a figure-eight motion. He flipped it back and forth until the blade gave out a high-pitched whine. Whipping it down to floor level, he spun it in a blinding arc of steel, leaping over the blade nimbly. Banging to a sudden halt, he thrust the blade at Bisky's face, stopping it a hair's breadth from the young mouse's nose. Whirling about, Bosie charged full tilt at Humphrey, yelling,
"Bolaney! Hawa!"
The young hedgehog stood frozen immobile as Martin's sword neatly clipped a single spike from between his ears. Bosie halted his performance by holding the sword to his lips and kissing it.
"Oh, my babbish! 'Tis a broad blade, and I think I've got the hang of it now. By my spawn, yon Martin didn't have much bother being a warrior with a weapon such as this beauty."
The abbot was full of admiration for Bosie's prowess with the sword.
"That was superb! But you said that you weren't one for swords. Unwieldy things, so you said."
The Highland hare shrugged.
"Aye, true enough, father. But I've never felt a bonny blade like this afore. Let's go and take a peek at how our friend Samolus is getting on with yon door."
They were halfway down the stairs when a loud boom rent the air. Hitching up his habit, Glisson hurried the pace.
"What was that? I hope no beast has been hurt."
The door had been knocked flat. Samolus was dusting off his paws. He appeared to have cheered up somewhat. Skipper and Corksnout were busy hauling a barrel back up the little flight of steps. Samolus told them how he had solved the problem.
"Ha! 'Twould have taken me more than a day to move that lock. So I rolled a barrel of October ale at it. Sometimes there's naught like brute force to get a result. Aye, plus a big drop of good October ale."
Corksnout heaved the barrel upright.
"First time my ale's been used as a battering ram. Don't seem any the worse for wear, though, do it?"
Bisky stood on the fallen door, sniffing the air at the dark, rough corridor that stretched out in front of him.
"That's strange. The air down here seems quite fresh. You'd have thought an old sealed-up tunnel like this would be smelly, musty and dank."
Samolus joined him.
You're right. So, what do you think we should do? Stand here sniffing the air, or get on with the search for the eyes of the Doomwhite?"
It was a rough and tortuous tunnel, twisting and dipping unexpectedly. Sometimes the walls were natural rock, but mostly they were earth, with roots of trees protruding downward. In places the going was wet and sloppy, where stream or spring water seeped through. Bosie and Samolus led the way, with Bisky, Dwink and Humphrey following. Skipper Rogus and Formal Gullop were rear guard. Holding their lanterns, they pressed onward into the narrow world of looming shadows and hanging roots. It was Skipper who posed the question.
"Ahoy, mateys. You don't mind me asking, but have we got any clues to go on?"
Formal chuckled gruffly.
"It do sounds like good questions, sirs. Elsewise, we bees are wandering willy and nilly."
Bosie halted at a spot where the passage widened a bit.
"Let's halt here and see what we've got. You young uns, recite the poem again to us."
Dwink recited the lines slowly and clearly. Samolus scratched his chin.
"We've been through most of that. 'Twas all about the door and the key. That's been solved. Give me the last four lines, Dwink. Maybe they mean something.
The young squirrel recited.
That's a good place to begin. What connects a front and back? Find one, and just three you'll lack. Pom pom, pom pom, the trail leads on and on.
Skipper questioned the leading line.
What connects a front and back? What's that supposed to mean?
Humphrey explained.
We've already solved that. Twas the door, that's the connection. Front door, back door.
The Otter Chieftain continued.
Must be the next bit. Find one, and just three you lack. Seems to me like we're searching for just one of the jewels. And then there's all this pom-pom stuff. Where does that leave us?
Bisky crouched with his back against the tunnel wall.
Nowhere, I suppose. It says the trail leads on and on, but it doesn't give any clues on where to search.
Formal wrinkled his button nose.
Mayhaps that be's what we got to do. Go on and on, following each trail.
Samuelus patted the mole's back.
You're right, mate. We go on to see where it leads us. Who knows? It might take us right to the Doom White Eye.
Bosie had something to add.
I ken what you say, but it's my opinion that we should search this passage for more clues as we go.
Bisky sprang upright.
Sounds like good sense to me. Right, quick march, or should I say, slow march. And keep your eyes peeled.